やめてたまるか。お前と俺は濡れたからさ、
一生かけた
一度の絆、心配するな、
泣いて泣けの最高だって。ずっといつまでも、ずっといつまでも殴り合ってけなし合いて、たちがいるから、いつまでも。
And welcome everybody to a brand new episode. Dr. Keith presents Fuck You, Colt Cabana, for stealing our thunder and getting Excalibur on your fine radio show earlier this week and scooping us, because we have right now the man himself, Excalibur, and also we're doing something that Colt Cabana could not do. We are reuniting Excalibur with Rob Naylor.
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going, Excalibur?
Bobby Nails, it is going well. Alan, thank you very much for having me. It's my my pleasure to be rejoining you once again. And don't think of it as Colt Cabana stealing me from you. It's more like a media blitz by Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. You know, it's like it's me making the talk show rounds to promote All Star Weekend 8.
Well, I could never complain about that, because that podcast was honestly one of the best shows I've listened to in a long ass time. That was an awesome interview. So much stuff I haven't heard from like any of the interviews you've done with me or Keith before that. Really interesting stuff, and I recommend everyone check that out. But yeah, we've got two of wrestling's premier commentators on the line right now. This is a real meeting of the minds.
Isn't it? I'm now commentating for 17 different promotions. Maybe one day I could do PWG too with Excalibur. It would be my favorite. I won't bring my 11 pages of, you know, very detailed notes, I don't think, for that one, but I'll try to live up to the comedy standards set forth by the man on the phone right now.
I was just speaking of your commentary, Rob. I was literally just about an hour or two ago, got off a bus. Everyone picture this scene. I was on a bus from Waterford to Dublin, about a 3-hour bus ride, and I had my laptop on my lap, and I'm watching the WXW Union City show and listening to Rob Naylor absolutely flip his shit on commentary as Jun Kasai does all the like Stan Hansen moves and yells out Mara Fuji before he does a rebound off the ropes clothesline, and Nader's just like, this is the greatest shit ever. And the other commentator, I wasn't sure who it was, but he was like kind of nonplussed by the whole thing, and Rob...
No, he wasn't nonplussed. You gotta understand, anyone else on the microphone when I'm on sounds subdued to my comparison, because I'm completely out of my fucking mind. So yeah, the only thing they always say to me is, well, you need a lot of work, but can't coach that kind of enthusiasm. So like, they're always happy. I don't sound fake when I'm marking out watching a wrestling match. But yeah. But Excalibur's the man. You can't mess with his commentary. I rewatch matches I don't even like just to hear Excalibur talk to other wrestlers on PWG DVDs, which you can get at ProWrestlingGorilla.com. See what I did there? Brought it back.
That was a beautiful transition, and you know, Rob, I haven't heard your commentary yet, even though, you know, I guess it would be kind of hard to miss. But you know, I was pleasantly surprised to see that you're getting quite a bit of work as a commentator. So that leads me to believe that, you know, either A, you're paying people off, and I know you don't have any money, so B, you must be pretty good.
Yes, I'm eating chili and lime ramen right now. It's splendid. So you're right, I am very good. It's amazing, and everyone's very nice, and they keep me around. And they need to give me phone books at Combat Zone Wrestling, because the other commentator's 6'7", and we look really stupid when we're on camera. But anyway.
The guy with the glasses?
I'm impressed to hear that you're fastidious about your notes, and you prepare and stuff like that. Usually, my preparation involves me looking at the lineup and seeing if there's anybody on the show that I don't know. And then if there is somebody on the show that I don't know, I go up and I'm like, hey, what's your finisher? And then that's it. Like, that's all the research that I do. So everything I do is just, you know, is kind of winging it. But I'm glad to hear that, you know, with all this preparation, that your enthusiasm doesn't sound canned. I mean, I know that, you know, on your notes, you probably have a good like 3-4 paragraphs of you just going, oh my God, but you're able to deliver it in such a fashion that it sounds organic. So,
and another
yesterday, I got to throw this out. Yesterday was a highlight in life. I was in the locker room, and they happened to put me in the locker room with Bill Eadie and Barry Darsow of Demolition. and these two fine, awesome legends of their game walked into the dressing room and see my stupid ass in my confirmation suit from third grade, and they're just like, one of them looks at me and he's like, hey, how you doing, kid? Very good. Like, of course I could have talked about the Mid-South days and Crusher Darsow, and I could have talked about the mass superstar from Georgia. No, I was 13 right here. I'm like, I'm great. Nice to meet you guys. And, like, total pro, right? So then I'm like, the guy looks at me and he's like, well, kid's in a suit, so he must know something. Is there a table out there for a gimmick shit, kid? I'm like, yes. And then they slowly sauntered out, and I just crossed my fingers. I hope their stuff's out there, because I don't want to have to hear it from Demolition. Because I can't take Demolition Decapitation. I'm so fragile. But, yeah. Bill Eadie's a nice person. God bless him. Anyway, he will not be at PWG's All-Star Weekend, which is coming up this weekend. Am I correct? It's this weekend?
Yep, this coming weekend, Memorial Day weekend here in the United States, May 27th and 28th. Back in Reseda, as always, and, yes, should be two, you know, fair to moderately good shows, I think.
Excalibur, I got to ask, are these on paper, in your opinion, the strongest shows you guys ever devised in the PWG lab?
I have a poor memory for you know, shows that have come before. So, I mean, there might be some shows that seem stronger, but in recent memory, at least, which is probably like the last couple years, I think that this might be the strongest shows we've had on paper since Garrison Frontier and the Speed of Sound, which were about a week apart. I think those were two, in proximity to one another, those were two pretty big shows.
Yeah, they were sick.
This is, for being two nights in a row of just, like, absolute craziness, I think, yeah, this is probably the biggest on-paper shows that we've ever had.
Well, let's get right into it, because pretty much all the matches have been announced, so we'll go through them one by one here. And on night one, kick things off, the Dynasty reforming, and not so much of a regular Dynasty team, Joey Ryan and Scorpio Sky to take on the Fighting Taylor boys of Brian Cage Taylor and Ryan Taylor. And I think this one's going to be awesome. Your energetic, I assume it's the opener, so it's your energetic opener, and all these guys will work really well together. It's great to see Scorpio Sky back at TWG.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to. I mean, there's a lot to look forward to this weekend, but I mean, this is one of the things I'm looking forward to most, seeing Sky and seeing him back in PWG. He's done quite a bit of wrestling in and around Southern California since the last time we saw him. And he keeps growing and he keeps getting better. He had a great series with Austin Aries at NWA.
I saw some of those matches. They're really good.
And so yeah, and so I mean, you know, he's gonna be able to bring, you know, bring his intensity and his his upgraded game back to PWG and what we hope will be, you know, a successful return for him.
Rob, any thoughts on that?
I'm concerned with this match, so I'm going to throw this out real quick. Now, we've talked about PWG wrestlers who have backgrounds that may surprise you. Brandon Gadson, Chilean hip-hop superstar in the early 90s, right? Four dudes and a girl, or the hell, a little boy band he was in back in the day. He was on Arsenio, right? I might be wrong on this, but Scorpio Sky and his off time from wrestling, does he have an aspiring rap career? Now, I know you listened to Ice Cube a lot from back in the day, so you gotta share the wealth, share the knowledge with us right now. Have you heard any of Scorpio Sky's melodious voice either on a rap or R&B album?
I have not, unfortunately. That makes for bad radio, but I haven't heard him or anything about his burgeoning hip-hop career. But it wouldn't surprise me because, you know, if you don't know, Scorpio Sky is black, and black people do like to rap. And
they do. It's amazing. A little birdie who may or may not throw elbows, I think played a song that Scorpio Sky might have had something to do with, and I was losing my mind. And I was like, is that Too Cold Scorpio? Because I also can't tell black people's voices from each other. It's amazing how this works. But I'm looking forward to hearing more about this development. Hopefully maybe you could throw out the line and try to reel in some info for us in the future, because I'm intrigued, to say the very least. And I'm intrigued by that tag match, by the way, not to really do that disservice. I'm just saying, rapping always.
I'll have to do some investigation, and maybe I'll do a little research this weekend. First time for everything.
Now, there you go. When I think the pro wrestlers in this world that I most want to hug, number one is, without a doubt, Yutaka Yoshie. But numbers two and three are Kevin Steen and Willie Mack. And they will be wrestling each other in match number two on night one. And these are two guys who are pretty much two of the favorites of the PWG fans at the moment. Willie Mack has burst onto the scene. He's been awesome. And Steen, of course, is Kevin Steen. And everyone adores him. And on DDT4, if you haven't seen it yet, Kevin Steen gives maybe his best one-night performance of all time in three matches, just tearing it up with Tozawa. So, Excalibur, this match to you, what does it say?
It's really, this match is kind of, I don't want to say historically significant, but I mean, it's something that's been coming for a long time, because I think the last time I was on with you, Alan, I talked about Willie Mack's history.
You did.
With PWG, yeah. And I talked up Willie Mack to you, and I don't think you had seen him yet, but then, I'm glad to hear that since then you've become a fan of his. But
yeah, because
for those that aren't familiar, Willie Mack used to come to all the PWG shows when we were in the Sweatbox in Hollywood, California. It was just this tiny gym that was a million degrees at any time of year. There could be 10 feet of snow out, but inside it would be, it'd be a million degrees. And Willie Mack would come to those shows. He would sit front row, and I mean, he would wait around, he'd wait around the back of the building, and he'd talk to all the guys after their matches about, what he needed to do to become a wrestler and stuff like that. And one of his favorites was Kevin Steen, and the Kevin Steen and Super Dragon feud was probably one of Willie's favorite feuds, ever in PWG. And so this is a really important match to him, because this is a guy that he's watched for the better part of 6 years now, and now Willie finally has the chance to face him in a wrestling match. And it's also a big match for Steen, because we saw at DDT4 that he was kind of able to toss around quite a few of the guys due to his size, but now, I mean, Willie and Steen are just about the same size, and so it'll be interesting stylistically to see how Steen's able to match up with Willie.
Rob, have you been enjoying Kevin Steen's work recently?
Kevin Steen in PWG is unreal. He's just so good. Like, I'll get heat with all the other 21 promotions I announced for, but whenever anyone goes to PWG, there's that extra spark, that extra flair, they feed off the energy of that crowd in Reseda, man. And, like, Kevin Steen has just fucking rocked it in PWG for the last, I don't know how many months, but everything I've seen has been ridiculous. And Willie Mack, who I thought was Super Dragon Unmasked, he loved the feud, so he's going to bring it with this match. And I'm, like, really, really looking forward to this, too. Willie, I love the, I don't want to use the term obese, we'll say the husky athlete. So, like, this match has, like, two for one in that regard, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what these guys can pull off, because they're both super athletic, super – it's like Adrian Adonis against the Junkyard Dog. It's going to be unbelievable. I cannot wait.
Adrian Adonis versus JYD.
Two very live, gazelle-like big men going at it, so I'm looking forward to it.
The first ever battle of grabbing them cakes.
Indeed. A battle which happened last...
Ed guys, too. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
A battle which happened last year and was one of, if not my favorite PWG match of all the last year, El Generico versus Ricochet. Much like El Generico and Pac in 06 and 07 having a big rematch. Generico and Ricochet will rematch here, and this is going to be wild. I loved their first match with Generico healing it up a little bit. It's going to be great. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, it was, it wasn't a match that we wanted to kind of rush into. I mean, we knew that one day down the line, Generico and Ricochet were going to have to cross paths again. But, their first match was so well executed. And, I mean, Generico really, you know, I mean, just channeling the spirit of, you know, not only Liger, but, you know, like Choshu and, you know, Saruta and all these guys, these old salty old timers now confronted with their career's mortality with somebody, you know, younger and faster and potentially better than them across the ring. And so, you know, I mean, I think this is just a continuation of it. And these guys are such great, I mean, such phenomenal storytellers that I think even though, I mean, they could go out and do exactly the same type of match once again, and I mean, it would be phenomenal. I think, you know, there will be something new and something different to this match. You know, a different angle that they haven't covered in their first match yet.
Well, Ricochet is they could easily do like a role reversal thing because Ricochet in a lot of recent Dragon Gate, he's been quite the awesome dick heel, and he's got quite a new great dickish haircut to them, and he's just. He's awesome. Ricochet's improved so much since that first match. It's insane. And if they were to go like the route of Generico being the kind of the guy who, as you said, his kind of mortality has crept up on him, and instead of being pissed off about it, he's actually Ricochet is all cocky about overtaking El Generico, and Generico becomes the big face in peril that the crowd get behind in this match. I'd love if it turned out to be something like that. It'd be great as well. So I can't wait to see what they do.
Yo, man, whether he's dick heel Ricochet or affable black man Ricochet, he's going to fucking bring it in this one, and I can't wait. Like, I actually really like the first match they had a lot, and, like, I can't even imagine what they're going to bring to the table right here, because Ricochet's, like, top five ever right now in the world. Like, he's so fucking good. I can't wait to call his stuff in a month. You're lucky to be calling it in a week. I can't wait because Ricochet brings the awesome and like El Generico. Can you? It's like peanut butter and jelly. It's gonna go together fantastically yet again, and it's gonna be an awesome match. And like, I cannot wait. Like El Generico, I almost feel like I don't say enough about El Generico. He's so fucking good. He's so spot on, consistently great that I almost feel like I've talked about him all the time, being so great that I don't even have to anymore. It's just understood. But, like, Ricochet's bringing it, and El Generico is, he's the fucking man. Again, the top five also in the world, perhaps. Maybe there'll be six people I say top five in the world by the end of the show. However, these are the two I'm going with at the moment. That's all I'm saying. So, yeah, it'll be great.
Has Ricochet surpassed Jack Evans in your book?
Ricochet has flipped over Jack Evans a long while ago. Jack Evans, unfortunately, I hope he's not lost in Mexico somewhere. What's up, Teddy? But I think he has. I think Pac shits all over Jack. I think Ricochet does as well. Jack Evans, good person, but he doesn't have youth on his side anymore, whereas Ricochet has that hunger and drive, and he's just on his way up fighting. So, yeah, although, you know, you put anyone in Mexico for, like, 3 years, and they're probably going to lose a step or two. However, that's racist. However, all I'm saying is I think that Ricochet has eclipsed, yes, Jack Evans, because I'm really looking forward to seeing him in every match these days.
So. Well, two guys who haven't teamed together in quite a while, but made for a, possibly Rob would have called them one of the top five tag teams in the world when they were around, Aries and Strong, Generation Next. They are reforming this weekend. They'll be taking on the Cutler Brothers. And, Excalibur, what made you guys decide to bring back the Aries and Strong tandem?
It was actually all 100% due to Roderick Strong. He, at the Card Subject to Change 3, he cornered Super Dragon. He said, hey, you know, I want to start teaming with Aries again. I know you guys, you know, we hadn't used him since Battle of Los Angeles. And he said, I know you guys haven't used him, but, you know, if you would, I think this would be really good. And then he actually got me when we were doing commentary in between the matches. Like, I mean, he was just like petitioning me. He's like, hey, this could be really good. You know, no matter who you put us up against, it's a fresh matchup. And, you know, we both want this team to be reformed. So we're both like super motivated to make it work. And, I mean, you know, I think when Roddy said, hey, I want to team up with Aries again, that's all he had to say. But then he went the extra mile, just trying to really, really sell us on it. And he really did sell us on it. And so, I mean, we're excited to have Aries coming back to PWG, and we're excited to have them teaming up again because, you know, I mean, individually those two guys are great, but together, you know, especially now, I mean, it's with, you know, with Roddy kind of, you know, lighting the fire under Aries. Aries, you know, in the past, he's, I guess, you know, he's been criticized as kind of, you know, relying on shtick too much in PWG. And, you know, Joey's kind of gotten that same criticism. But I think right now they're both in situations where their partners and their opponents will kind of force them to elevate their game. And I'm really interested to see how that happens. I mean, this is going to be a huge weekend, I think, for Roddy and Aries. And for Joey and Sky.
I think that's a really, when people say that about Joey, I just want to say, I think that's a really unfair criticism, because Joey Ryan, for like the last 2 years, has been like working his ass off. Like any of his matches with Zero, or a load of his matches he's had, that guy's been bringing. So I hate when people say that about Joey. But anyway, Rob, your thoughts on Gen X performing?
Oh my God, Gen X, my favorite team of all time. I was a huge fan of all four of them, Alex Shelley and Jack too. You gotta throw all of them in. However, Gen X, Roddy and Aries is awesome. And I was on a show with Aries just last night. He's been, and the night before he was on the same show, and he is wrestling at a very high level, even still. It's always weird, because you're like, this guy's a veteran on the independent circuit, and now he's wrestling younger wrestlers, yet it really doesn't seem like he has lost a singular step in everything he does. He does have that extra swagger about him, and he just connects with the audience, and him and Roddy being back as a team is awesome. Probably one of my favorite teams of the last decade. Along with the SATs, who were on last night's show too, but apparently they're not on
the
weekend. I'll cry about that later. They wrestled last night. They wrestled the Dark City Fight Express. Okay, but aside from that, nothing to do with the SATs. But Roderick and Austin Aries had some of the best matches with like the Briscoes and everything else. And
Joy and Seema?
Yes, and they're wrestling a brother tandem this weekend, you know, the Cutler brothers, who have always just stepped up and really been that key to the undercard in PWG, where they're always like, oh shit, where'd this come from kind of match. So really looking forward to that too. So again, kudos for the matchmakers at lovely Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
I remember the one and only PWG show that you attended personally.
Yes.
Just happened to have Generation Next reunited, though not actually reunited. They just all happened to be on the same show, and you had to get your picture taken with them.
This did happen, and not only did this happen, but somebody had Austin Aries kind of like be a dick to me, and I was scared. He's like, and like I'm still a little shook about it. I got some good. We're friends now. We've done commentary together. He's a nice person, but on this occasion, I think somebody was playing games with me, and I was like, what did I write online? My little nerdy internet shit, and I didn't know. It's like, why would a fucking picture taken with you? And I'm like, oh my God, I just wanted to be the Jack Evans guy in the picture. And like, luckily everything got well, and it's a nice thing, but you're right. In my one and only weekend ever at PWG, which is the greatest, I want to come back direly, I did indeed hang out with Alex Shelley, Roderick Strong, and a very happy-go-lucky Austin Aries, and they were very nice enough to lend themselves to a photo with me. And I think I fucked up doing the N for Generation Next, but it's okay, because it's, and I never even saw the picture. It's out there somewhere. Anyone, if you're listening to this, if you took it, begging you to send it this way, because I cherish it, despite never seeing it. But yeah, Generation Next kicks ass, no doubt about it.
I read the ROH results from this weekend, and one thing stuck out to me above all the things about this match was great, TV deal this, TV deal that. One thing stood out head and shoulders, and that is my favorite man in the world, Jay Briscoe, uttering the line as he got his brother Mark Briscoe to grab a chain, and he said, regarding Kenny King, let's lynch this motherfucker. So poor Kenny King was had a rough weekend by the sound of things, and at the end of those.
I was wondering where you were going with this. Like, I was like, what an awesome transition this.
I just saw Kenny King's picture as I scrolled up, and I was the whole Briscoe's lynching the black man thing at ROH this weekend.
Okay, that sounded like one of my transitions. I was just surprised you went there. Okay,
I had to work that in. I loved reading that so much, well, not because I'm racist.
If I could save it for you, you know, the Kenny King, he will be wrestling another man from the South this week.
Another racist man.
Another racist man. And the Kentucky gentleman, Chuck Taylor, at PWG's All-Star Weekend.
So Kenny King has had his hands full with the rednecks recently. And yeah, this is going to be, I'd say this is the first time matchup. I can't think of these guys wrestling before. And
there, two guys have kind of come up along at the same time, but they've kind of never really crossed paths. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how they click.
Yeah, very much so. This will be Kenny King's second match in PWG, and he's a guy that we're really excited to have back. You know, he's living in Las Vegas, and so he's on a lot of shows here in Southern California, but, you know, the stars never really aligned to get him on PWG until recently, and now that, you know, we're able to book him, I think, you know, he's a guy that he's really shown so much in, you know, just his last couple of years of wrestling that, I mean, he's a guy that we're really happy to be a part of our shows, and, you know, hopefully continue to be a part of our shows in the future. And then, you know, Chuck he's always a pleasure to have on our show. It's always a pleasure for me to be having him in the booth with me. And so this is, you know, this is really exciting. And, you know, PWG is one of the places he likes to wrestle the most, I think. And so, you know, we want to try to have new and interesting matchups for guys every time that they come back. And, you know, this is one of those occasions where, you know, it's, you know, a first time matchup for him and obviously for Kenny as well. And so it's, you know, something that, you know, we kind of, you know, we want to have people happy to come back to PWG.
Is the Taylor Boys unit, as in the three of them, still kind of intact? Because Chuck has kind of been sort of apart from the other two for quite a bit now. So is the family still going strong, or is there a way?
Yes, they are. The Fightin' Taylor family is still going strong. It's just, yeah, Chuck's been in Japan a lot, and so that was kind of, you know, when we were having shows, he would be in Japan and just wouldn't be available for us. But yeah, now that he's back, I think we will see. You know, we'll see the Fightin' Taylor Boys reunite. And, you know, the thing I wanted to do, but I couldn't, you know, we couldn't figure out how to get the paperwork, is to have Tracy Smothers come in as Papa Taylor. But that would require a name change. You know, we'd have to get his name changed and, you know, all across the country. And that would just be a huge headache. And so, yeah, we're looking for a Papa Taylor. You know, he's a very mercurial fellow, and, you know, he's hard to nail down. He's got a lot of fraternity suits against him, but it's somebody that, you know, we're looking to have him come in and advise the Taylor Boys.
How about the older brother, Chaz Taylor, the old global phenomenon? Is he in the mix at any point? No, maybe not.
He did something recently. He came up in the news. I can't remember what it was, and I was like, oh my God.
The last guy who Larry Sweeney wrestled before he died, a young Allen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, something else I was thinking of. I saw his name mentioned there recently, and I was like, hey, it's the guy from the bungee jump video. But yeah, I'll try and find that out. Well, any thoughts, Rob, on the Kenny King and PWG?
Well, you all both said it all already. I mean, Chuck Taylor's underrated as hell, and Kenny King of late has really shown a lot more fire than he has even in the past, and he's just putting some really good stuff together. And I think Kenny King plus PWG equals happy wrestling fans.
And also, what equals happy wrestling fan is Eddie Edwards in PWG. And especially when he's wrestling, the man who is more over in PWG, and we've had some exaggerations on this show already, Rob. I'm only kidding. But one exaggeration, something that I don't think is an exaggeration, is Akira Tozawa being the most over man in the world ever. I can see that being true.
I'm not against it.
Yeah, it's close. I mean, Tozawa, when he wrestles his final match on night two, I think people are going to be just depressed, you know, I mean, because Tozawa, he's been such a huge part of PWG, and, I mean, the guy is just such an incredible workhorse, and, you know, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstances is, I mean, he's, you know, he brings his A game and every single time, and it's just like, I don't know, I mean, there's not enough, not enough superlatives I can shower on Akira Tozawa. He is just fantastic. And so, you know, we wanted to have, you know, two big matches for him this weekend that will speak to his time here in PWG and kind of, you know, pay off what, you know, things that have been started with him. And so, yeah, I think this match with Edwards Tozawa, he's had pretty much nothing but fresh matchups here in PWG, and this just kind of continues with it. And this is a match that people, you know, otherwise I don't think would have an opportunity to see, you know, unless, you know, suddenly indie companies stopped handing out contracts to people. Yeah, I mean, it's a match that we are in the unique position that we're able to do, and it's something that we're super excited to be able to do. And so, I mean, it's a match that I think everybody, you know, everybody on the business side of PWG is really looking forward to.
Yeah, it's going to be sick. I'm still looking forward to Akira Tozawa versus Eddie Edwards in PWG. I mean, Jesus.
It's going to be
Eddie. Yeah. I mean, Eddie Edwards is just like one of the awesomest wrestlers on the planet. He's stepping up. He's winning titles. And Tozawa, as said, you know, it goes without saying, he's put on a series of matches in Reseda, California, that you could put top five of all times up with, like, anybody ever. See what I did there? And you can probably see that Tozawa will hold up and be number one greatest. Because, like, you had the Steen match, the Hero match. You had the Steen and Tozawa tag performances at DDP.
Oh, that final. The final against Young Bucks is just... It's amazing.
Dude, he's sick. He's the man. And he seems like a nice fellow. So and hopefully he kicks it off big time and just kicks out the jams and leaves with a big smile on his face and goes back to the land of the rising sun.
Excalibur, you're probably not the man to ask for this, but I got to make a request. And his final entrance needs to be left in on the DVD, like his final moment coming through the curtain, because his music, it's like Dragon Gate music, so like they won't care if it's used on the DVD. So High Spots, if any of you guys are listening to this, let the world see Tozawa's final entrance in PWG. That will be a great scene.
I'll see what I can do. I will. I'll put the word up the ladder and see what
nice.
Happens. But you know the nice thing, Tozawa's leaving. But the nice thing is, there's a coffee chain here in Southern California, Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, and Tozawa has become addicted to the coffee from Coffee Bean.
That's the last thing that man needs is coffee.
But the thing is, going back to Japan, he might not be able to get the certain brand of certain type of coffee that he'd like, and so that might entice him to return to America, and more specifically, return to Southern California a little more often. So, you know, we've got our fingers crossed on that one.
Awesome. So let's move on up the card here, and the next match is two of Rob's, and there's no exaggeration here, these are two of Rob's all-time favorites, Low-Ki and Alex Shelley. And Rob, I'll let you start on this one, because just, I know
dude,
you're
dude, when this was announced, I was like, I'm, like, dreaming. I was late at night. I'm like, this isn't even really fucking happening right now. Like, this is a joke, really? Because this was announced, I think, after Chris versus Claudio. And Chris versus Claudio, when it was announced, like, the rest of the card could have been, like, Brent Albright against, like, John Walters. Two guys going right under the bus. Hopefully they're on shows I'm on coming up. But, I didn't give a fuck what else was on the undercard. And then when all this awesome shit just kept popping up on the undercard, I'm just like, it went from, oh my god, to like, holy shit, this is goddamn crazy. It's the greatest show of all time. So, yes, Alex Shelley, one of my favorite humans, just a pillar of the community, cool guy, super funny, and Low-Ki, angry. I said two words to him last night, and they were hello and thank you. That's three words. I don't know how to count either. He admonished me for that. He's just so angry and hits so hard, and he's scary. So, like, he got polar opposites personality-wise, but they're going head up this weekend, and they are my favorite part, probably the indies of the 2000s. And only in PWG, again, it needs to be said, PWG is pulling this shit off, and I think that the people in Reseda should give themselves a pat on the back for choosing to live in an amazing place so they can see this one live, because, damn, man, this is going to be hot. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, when I mean, it's really, you know, it's really a perfect storm. We've gotten a lot of, you know, a lot of people saying, oh, you know, I live on the, you know, there's obviously a lot more wrestling fans on the East Coast than there are on the West Coast. And, you know, around the world, we've got a big audience as well. And people would love to see us on the, you know, see us do an pay-per-view. But, you know, as soon as you start doing that, there's a whole bunch of hurdles. And I mean, I've seen a lot of people and I've gotten a lot of emails from people just saying, oh, hey, we'd love to see you guys do this. But if, you know, if we start doing that, then matches like this just wouldn't be possible, you know, just due to these minor contractual things that you know promotions are making guys sign. And so, you know, we're lucky to be in this position that we're able to have matches like this, and it makes us so happy, because I mean it's something that's you know, not only unique to PWG, but I mean, it's something special for our fans. And so, you know, while sometimes wrestling fans in California might feel like that they're kind of marooned on this desert island, you know, where all this other stuff is happening on the East Coast and around the world, you know, we're able to kind of provide something, you know, something special and something very unique to the fans here in Southern California, and really kind of, you know, as kind of just our way of saying thanks, you know, thanks for supporting us and thanks for, you know, thanks for being here for us.
On the same note, Excalibur, I'm going to ask now. I'm not under a contract. I didn't sign one with CZW or Force One or Revolver, Dragon Gate or Big Japan or WXW or any of the multitude of companies. So when I come back out to PWG, I request perhaps if the higher minds and the board of directors at PWG will let me announce one match only. And I don't even give a shit what match it is. You could let me announce. It don't even matter. Like, it's a match that hasn't even been made yet. I want to do commentary with Excalibur more than I almost want to meet Manny Fernandez. It's that level of high, like, high hopes. You don't even know, man. I'm telling you. So, yes, well, please let this happen at some point in and around the next year and a half.
Well, Rob, this might surprise you, but, you know, I do know the management of Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, so I could put in a word for it.
Oh, my God. Good. That's really good to know. I'm really happy.
We're just making one request after another to poor Excalibur.
We are. We're so demanding, aren't we? Jesus
we really
Christ.
Are.
We have a guest on, and we just pillage them with all kinds of questions and demands. But,
I don't forget them.
I know, right? So then, what are we moving on? Is there one more match left, right?
There's one more before the main event, and that is the Young Bucks versus the Rock Nass Monsters. The Bucks were beaten. A lot of people, I think, have forgotten because of the Young Bucks' big success recently, but they were pinned by the Rock Nass Monsters at Kurt Russell Reunion 2. And so they're going to have to put their titles up for grabs against Johnny Goodtime and Johnny Yuma. So this should be awesome. It's four guys who know each other well and have torn up countless times on PWG shows. The Bucks especially are just – they've picked up from where they left off in 2009 and 2008 with their recent stuff in them. In 2011, and I think this should be really good. And I'm glad to see it being so high up on the card that for as a title match, rightfully so.
Yeah, I mean this is as you said a direct result of what happened at Kurt Russell Reunion 2, the January PWG show, and you know this is the first time I think that these guys will meet in a straight up tag team match in PWG. Yuma hasn't been around for that long. I think Goodtime, and you know, he's had quite a few partners in his run in PWG, but you know, as the Monsters now that they're, you know, they're together as a unit, and these guys are just, you know, they're kind of going to be that tag team. And so I mean I think they've really, really shown a lot. I mean, Yuma, when he first came in, people didn't really know what to think of him. You know, he's just like this tiny little guy. But I mean, he's full of personality. He's full of ability too, and you know, he really complements Goodtime well. And I think they're an excellent matchup for the Bucks because they're just two really fast-paced teams. Really, you know, high. I don't want to say high impact, but you know, they're really visually impressive teams to watch. And you know, especially the Bucks have you know, they've been kind of changing their style to be more of the heels. You know, they play up the TNA stuff in you know, in PWG quite a bit, but when you know, when push comes to shove, when they're matched up with a team like this, a young fast team, they can still pull out those you know, those young fast things that they are so good at,
and they'll super kick your face off.
Then they'll hit you with 200 consecutive super kicks to the nose, and so this is a match. I mean, I'm really excited about it because it's always great to have, you know, I mean, for as many guys are considered PWG guys, there's always kind of like a soft spot for the local guys. And so to have, you know, four local guys this high up on the card really just, I mean, speaks to the talent pool here in Southern California and might not get the attention that, you know, across the country that it deserves. But, I mean, when we're able to showcase a match like this, we, you know, we'd love to be able to.
Excalibur, your DVD department will be happy to hear this. At Pro Wrestling NOAH last weekend, when Chris Hero and Claudio Castagnoli, the Kings of Wrestling, were at their merchandise table, I saw one English, European, whatever fan after another come up to these guys and say, "Oh, great match tonight, da 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 da." And so many of them mentioned, "I can't wait to see you guys have your match in PWG. It's going to be amazing." And it was he very talked about things, the Kings of Wrestling, in England last weekend. So expect a lot of international orders for this DVD, because that match is, that's going to sell some, that's going to move some copies right there.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, we always catch some flack for our DVD production time, but you know, people have to keep in mind that, you know, we're a small company, we're a very small operation. You know, we do the best we can, but we have Card Subject to Change 3 is coming out pretty soon, if not within the next couple of weeks. We're hoping to have it back in time for all. It's in the hands of the replicator right now. But for All-Star Weekend 8, we're doing our best to make this one of our fastest releases ever. We've actually gotten you know, all the DVD menus, all the front. Okay. So we've done as much of the front end production on the DVDs as we can, get everything ready to go just in time. So when, you know, after the shows actually happen, all that needs to be done on our end is to edit the footage, drop it in, and, you know, produce the DVDs, and then it's up for replication. And I mean, that's generally where the holdup is. But you know, on bigger shows like this, you know, High Spots can really kind of you know, put a light a fire under the replicator and get things done a little quicker. And so we're hoping that'll be what happens with All-Star Weekend 8.
And Rob, feel free to go to town on this match, because I know you want to.
A little known fact, I'm good buddies with both of these human beings, so like, I was surprised more than anyone, because in some of my conversations, I know that these two men wanted to put off their singles encounter, and I would say, no, F that, get this done in PWG. No, we're going to put it off. It's going to be put off. I wanted to see this last year. Like, I knew that both guys had just stepped up so fucking much, and I knew that they had, like, the greatest match of all times, move over Steamboat Flair, in them, and I just knew it had to happen in PWG. And when this was announced, no bullshit, I legit might have gotten up and at least ran around my room twice out of excited enthusiasm. And I was just like, oh my god, I can't fucking believe this is happening. I still kind of can't believe this is happening. And I think it's going to be such a good match. And they had a series of matches in 2007 and I believe 2008, but it's pretty much been like 2.5 years since they've had any kind of singles encounter, and they are just both completely changed wrestlers, and I think they're going to shock everybody. I think it's going to be there's at least 3 or 4 other matches on this show that could easily, maybe 5 other matches, 6 other matches on this show that could be the best match on this show. So they have got to really light a fire under each of their asses, because they're going to have to really, really bring it in the main event on this show. So like, holy shit, I can't wait. Like, I think it's going to be out of control. Like, this whole show is, like, my favorite card of the year for sure.
Hold on, Rob. We still have to go to the Night 2 card. That could be even better.
I know. That's really good, too. I'm just saying, this Night 1 card is so unfuckwittable that I'm putting it over as the best card I've seen. And sometimes you have a card that on paper someone likes more, and then the Night 2 card, like 99 and 100. That was the shows I went to for PWG. And it was one of those things where you're flip-flopping, because both of the cards are so cool. And I like how this is kind of like that too, where you have a special match, or like a special appearance by somebody on one night, and then he's not on the next night, so then somebody else on the next night it brings up a little bit more special there too. So like, I'm rambling, but fuck yeah, I love this show. I think the main event's going to kick ass, and I think the entire undercard, if you could even fucking call it that, any one of these matches could be a main event anywhere in the world. However, I just think that it's going to be the perfect storm of good activities. And again, Reseda, fuck you all. You're very lucky.
Yes, they are. Yes, yes they are. Yeah. But before we run the end of the Night 2 card, very quickly, I just want to – we'll do a brief interlude here, because my friend and Rob's friend, Joe Gagne, has relayed a message he wants me to give to Excalibur, an idea of sorts. His son adores their house cat, and his very first word was kitty. And basically he calls any animal with fur kitty. And Joe was going around one day wearing his Pro Wrestling Gorilla t-shirt, and his son went up and pointed at the gorilla on the t-shirt and called it kitty. So Joe's idea is that if PWG are ever to have a SEM or never style
offshoot promotion. It should be called Pro Wrestling Kit. So there you have it. I think that would work quite well, Excalibur.
Well, you know, we have been looking into starting a dojo system, you know, a Japanese style dojo system where guys just live, you know, in a warehouse and in a dormitory that we set up to at great expense of our own, and we have them, you know, wrestle just purely for us once every 6 or 7 weeks, and so I think it's a financially viable option. So I'll keep it in mind for when we do that.
I'd like to see Pro Wrestling Guerrilla have like an offshoot like strip club called Kitty, like maybe somewhere along like Mulholland or something. I don't know. I'm just shot in the dark here. That would be probably pretty impressive. And anyway, what am I doing?
I have no idea.
You don't? I don't even know, for Christ's sake. The next show, All-Star Weekend, Volume 2,
All-Star Weekend, Night 2.
Thank you, even.
And three men who will be on the card but not yet in matches, Kenny King, Brian Case Taylor, and Ryan Taylor. So looking forward to seeing who they're matched up with. But the first match that has been announced is the Cuddlers, once again, against the Reforming Dynasty. And, I think not too much has been said about this. We haven't kind of said about these guys already. It's great to see the Dynasty back together and working against kind of two other SoCal guys that they're familiar with. It should be an awesome match.
Yeah, and, you know, something that we kind of realized with the second Young Bucks title reign is that, you know, I mean, there are some fresh matches for them in PWG, but, you know, I mean, there's still a lot of teams like the Cutler Brothers that they've wrestled countless times. And so one of the things that we wanted to do is look for other tag teams that we could bring in as possible contenders to the title, possible opponents for the Bucks. And so, you know, we're really, really looking forward to, you know, seeing how Joey and Sky perform as a tag team this weekend. And, you know, I mean, in you know, I think that they would be a great matchup down the road for the Bucks. And I think the Cutler's Bucks, which is a match that, you know, obviously has happened quite a bit for us, but it's a match that I think now, you know, with a little distance between the last time it actually happened, a straight up singles match between the two teams, I think, you know, could be, you know, new and a little fresher, but still play off, you know, the great history between those two teams.
And,
absolutely, I'll jump in here. I think, again, I'm really happy Scorpio Sky's back. Whether he's the world's greatest rapper or not, we'll never know. But I just think, like, him being back in the ring is awesome. The dives that guy can pull off are all
crazy. His dive in that match with Chris Bosh, the Chris Bosh retirement match, was like, that'll be like the Juventud Guerrera air hoovie to the outside from Bash to the Beach 97 as, like, a dive I'll never forget.
Dive of the century candidate, no doubt about that. And then is Joey Ryan, I mean, consistency again, you know. He might not wrestle the super high impact, I'm going to do like 450 splash style, but Joey Ryan is just so fundamentally sound. And there's my commentary seeping into this fucking audio show. But he just has such good fundamentals. Everything he does looks awesome. And Cutler's, as we said, you know, always a very pleasant sight on most of the PWG undercards, and love them too. And their finish is my favorite. That double pile driver thing.
That's a sweet move. Ricochet and Chuck Taylor were having like awesome matches in 2006 in the South when both guys had pretty much very little experience. And now in 2011, after tours of Dragon Gate, after big matches with top wrestlers all over the world, these guys are going to have a singles match for the first time in a while, and I think this is my dark horse for a possible match of the weekend stealer. I think this could be a big one.
Yeah, I mean, we're really excited about this. It's, you know, I mean, we talked about fresh matchups, and obviously For PWG, this is a fresh singles match, but for wrestling fans, they, you know, Chuck Taylor and Ricochet have, you know, they broke in together, they've wrestled each other quite a bit. But, you know, I mean, it's, you know, with that distance between the last time that they wrestled and with the tremendous growth, I mean, you touched on it, Alan, these guys have been all over the world since the last time that they've wrestled, and they've wrestled, you know, a huge number of other, you know, other people, you know, I mean, there's just a tremendous amount of different new stylistic influences for both guys, and I think this will be, you know, even if you've seen every single Chuck Taylor and Ricochet match, I think this will be extremely, extremely unique and extremely fresh.
if you've seen every single Ricochet Chuck Taylor match, then you have spent quite a bit of time in small places in the South, because these guys wrestled each other like multiple times a week, I think, back in the day when they were just breaking in.
I'm not even sure that Chuck Taylor and Ricochet have seen every Chuck Taylor match.
Yeah, exactly. Rob, your thoughts on this one?
Oh man, I love these two, man. I love every match they've ever had. You know, I have not seen all of them either, I swear. But the ones I've seen from a while back, you know, it was like that whole IWA thing. What's up, Ian? It was like that whole like Punk Hero, Shelley Jacobs, you know, Delirious Seidel, and then like Chucky T and Ricochet kind of filled that niche where there was that perfect complement to each other, and they always had so many good matches. And they took that feud all over the place, and then they kind of begged off it a little bit, and now you got them both in PWG, which is, again, Reseda, California, the best venue of all time. And Jesus, I can't even imagine. You're so fucking lucky. Again, it's the broken record time. I don't give a shit. Anyone that's going to be at this, you're seeing like the best in the world go at it, and this is definitely one of those matches that could indeed, again, be the best match of the entire weekend. It's just good. You might as well just draw a straw to see who's going to steal it. It's fucking impossible to even try to figure out.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, these guys are going to be awesome. And as you said, Ricochet is so good right now. Chuck Taylor always wrestles at a really high level. So definitely these guys are going to set it off for sure. And the fans are going to fucking be feeling it because, you know, they all we do there. So.
This just gets more ridiculous as I go on, because I scroll up this page, and the next thing I'm hit with is Eddie Edwards versus El Generico. Like, Edwards is very much considered one of the most informed, best wrestlers in the world right now, and Generico, as Rob talked about earlier, is just so fucking awesome. I think he's the best wrestler in the world, and has been for a while, and these two are just going to have an awesome, great match, and It's there's not much you can say about it, but I'm sure a wordsmith like Excalibur, you will have something great to tell us about this match.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's a match that kind of speaks for itself, and you know, with Edwards just recently coming to PWG, you know, DDT4 was his first outing with us. You know, there's a ton of fresh matches for him to do for us, and so we're really excited. And I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Generico has been, you know, at the top, like the best wrestler in the world for quite some time. And you know, over the last couple of months, he's been dealing with some injuries and stuff, and he's still been able to perform at this insanely high level. And so, you know, Edwards is one of those guys that, you know, I mean, he's always motivated. He always wants to bring the best out of his opponent. And Generico is a guy that's always motivated. And he always wants to bring the best out of his opponent. So I think. You know, I mean, it's just going to be two guys that are just phenomenally high-level wrestlers that, you know, we're lucky enough to have on our shows and have matched up against one another.
Yeah, this is one of those matches where I believe I've seen them wrestle before in Ring of Honor and maybe even other places, but it's just one of those deals where PWG, again, wins in the end, because guess what? In the 90s, like, if there's a rivalry in wrestling, it was dope, it was cool to see it, but then when you transplanted that rivalry and you put it in the ECW arena, in the 90s, on mind you, not now, but like in the 90s, like Mike Awesome or Tanaka or Tajiri and Super Crazy, you put any guys from a different fed who have matches, and then you place that match in a certain place, and it's so much better. You take a match like El Generico and Eddie Edwards, and then you place it in California for PWG, and that match is just going to be so well received, and I can't even imagine the last 4 minutes of this match. I'm going through it in my head right now, and it's really fucking awesome, so I'm really looking forward to reading reviews when it comes out, because I'm sure they're even going to surprise me, even though I'm not clairvoyant as far as I know, but I really think it's going to be super fucking badass.
God, I would love to be Rob Naylor, able to watch these shows in his head before they even happen.
Yeah, he doesn't even have to buy the DVD. But Rob, I have a little piece of trivia. I mean, this is one thing that I actually did research on. Eric and Eddie Edwards have never had a singles match before.
What? Oh my God. Well, look at that shit. Okay, well, even take everything I just said, flush it down that toilet. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter.
Why did I talk about
the 90s and ECW? It did not need to be said. Fuck yeah, first time ever. Researcher extraordinaire, Excalibur. I'll put my notes away for good now. Holy shit. That's good, man.
We just asked Eddie Edwards if he'd ever had a single with him. He said no, so that was all the research that we did.
There you go. Fuck. Okay.
Rob, what's next? Rob, Chris Hero and Willie Mack. This is your boy, it's a unique test for him. I wonder how he's going to be.
Chris Hero, by the way, you're not being racially sensitive, right?
Right. I am talking about Chris Hero, of course.
Man, if you weren't wrestling on the show, they'd probably be going to meet KRS-One or something at a hip-hop show in California that day. However, that's not happening. They're going head-to-head. So you know
and
what?
It could be a world title.
Could be a world title match
if Hero defeats Claudio on night one.
Jesus. Well, then, Willie Mack, then. He's the guy poised to break out the most this weekend.
He could be the world champion by the end of the weekend.
Very well could be. And what a wonderful day. Where does he live? Willie Mack? What a wonderful day in South Central. If you thought Reginald Denny getting hit by a brick was awesome, wait till Willie Mack wins the PWG World title at All-Star Weekend. Volume/Night 2. I mean, Jesus Christ, it's going to be awesome. And I know Hero really respects Willie Mack, and I think this is going to be a really good match for Willie Mack either way you look at it, because he's going to get tested big time. So it'll be good.
The only thing I have to say about this match is, you know, since the Thor movies come out, Chris Hero has been getting a lot of comparisons with Chris Hemsworth, the actor that portrays Thor. And yes. So I think the billing for this match will be Chocolate Thunder versus the God of Thunder.
Jesus Christ, that's the kind of creativity you don't find too many other places. Right there it is, Jesus. And you know what? He's probably loving that movie's out, because Nickelback only could happen for so long. I mean, Jesus that poor motherfucker. You don't even want to know how many times. Anyway.
Kurt Hawkins.
I thought you meant Willie Mack, who's a big Walt Simonson.
Kurt Hawkins is also very Thor-like. It's funny, because I've never thought of Kurt Hawkins and Chris Hero as looking alike, but they both really look like the guy from Thor. But four men who, none of whom, look like the guy from Thor. Johnny Goodtime, Johnny Yuma, Kevin Steen, and Akira Tozawa. This is, again, I'd say this would be my other dark match to, or dark horse, to, certainly not a dark match, dark horse to steal the weekend. And, for a couple of reasons. One, obviously, it's Tozawa's last match. And two, this is a match that's been built up. It's been a couple of months coming now after Kevin Steen killed dead Johnny Yuma. It was the biggest killing I've seen in a professional wrestling ring in quite some time, where he gave him the steamalizer into the corner. And so this match is Yuma and Goodtime are going to be out for retribution. I know Steen has been, he's talked a bit of trash on them on Twitter in the last couple of months, so this should be unbelievable.
It wasn't just a steamalizer into the corner. It was a steamalizer through the corner to the floor. I mean, it was brutality at its most brutal, to borrow a phrase. It was, I mean, like when we were on commentary, Caban and I, we saw Yuma fly at the corner and then like just end up on the floor, and we just like stared at each other, just wide eyed. We couldn't believe what had happened, and I couldn't believe that Yuma was just walking around afterwards. I saw him at the end of the show; he had an ice pack on his neck. But I mean, like, I'm surprised he wasn't in a full body cast. And so yeah, I mean, Yuma and Goodtime are typically, you know, kind of like a happy-go-lucky tag team, and they're just kind of like, hey, whatever, man. But this is a, you know, I mean, this was a match that they are super, super motivated for, and it's a match that, you know, I mean, really, in Tozawa, you know, his last appearance for us in this, you know, in this current tour, you know, I know it's going to be something that he's going to really want to kind of go all out and go balls to the wall. And if there's, you know, not three other guys that would be more willing to do that with him than Steen, Goodtime, and Yuma.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I fear for Johnny Yuma's well-being right here. I mean, We saw what happened before. You got to know that Steen's got even worse.
I love the gravity in Rob's voice talking about this. Like,
I'm serious,
he's legit worried.
I am. He's a little guy. I pull for the smaller wrestler in life, you know? And Jesus, Kevin Steen's kind of big, and he can throw him around pretty hard. So, like, I'm trying to hope – I hope he's okay. Now, Johnny Goodtime, he'll be all right. He's always in a good mood. He's always doing some crazy shit, so he'll be all right. And Tozawa, let's face it, Tozawa's unbreakable anyway. And Kevin Steen, he's the guy that's going to be hurting somebody. He's going to kick somebody's ass that day. So hopefully it's not Johnny Yuma, though, because we want the best for that young man. But I'm really hyped for this tag match, too.
Talk about how tough these guys are. Goodtime is, like, he's one of those guys that are, like secret daredevils. Like, I Super Dragon, I don't think gets enough credit for the amount of punishment that he took in his career. And I think Johnny Goodtime is taking a page out of, like, the Super Dragon Paul London book, where he just endures a terrific amount of punishment in every match. And Tozawa, I mean, he's tough as nails. In Battle of Los Angeles, night one, El Generico gave Tozawa a Michinoku driver, and it was a straight up and down Michinoku driver, like on the top of Tozawa's head. It was insane. And Tozawa, I mean, he got really rattled by it. He might have had a concussion, he might not have, but I mean, he was loopy at the very least. And then he came back and he had that fucking killer match with Hiro on night two, after getting just knocked loopy just less than 24 hours before. And so, I mean, he's as tough as they come. Steen is, he's a bruiser. He's super tough. We've seen the punishment, and he can take in good time. Or, I mean, Yuma is, I mean, he's like a little, like a little rubber ball. I mean, he takes all this punishment, he just bounces off it, and he's back up, and he's just running at you again.
Johnny Yuma would have been an awesome, awesome young wrestler in mid-80s WWF against, like, Warlord and Barbarian, perhaps. You know, that'd be... He'd have taken some good bumps there for sure, but I really like him a lot. What's the next match, buddy?
The next match.
What we got?
The next match is Gen Next versus Gen Me 4, possibly for the tag team titles. And wow. On paper, this is like your dream match of dream matches. It's like 2006's big tag team versus the big tag team from the last couple of years. I can't wait to see this one.
Yeah, Rob, I actually emailed Alan right after we announced this match, and I told him, I'd expected you to just have your head come off when we announced this match. So I'm interested to hear your view, your take on this match.
This was also a couple laps around my room after I read it. I was like, oh my god, this is so fucking wild that this is actually going to happen. And again, it's happening in my favorite building too, which I'll stop fucking blowing the building at some point, but I really love the building. I love the fans. It's such a good place to watch wrestling and watch wrestling even on DVD. But, man, what a sick, sick match. I mean, Roderick Strong and the Young Bucks have a really good rapport.
You know,
Austin Aries has very little, if any, real matches with the Young Bucks ever, so there's some freshness there. And Aries and Strong have a team for quite some time, but you know that they have probably very few, very few, I almost said cobwebs. That's not the term I want to use. They have very little rust in that tag team unit. So I think it ought to be fucking really good. Another potential show-stealing match for the whole entire weekend. And I want to see at least 200 Inzaghiris. If there's any less, that's cool. But I just want to see people getting kicked in the face a whole
lot. Rob, when you mentioned the Roderick and Young Bucks report, it reminded me I guess the last time those guys faced was the time that Roderick and Daniel Bryan gave the Young Bucks an absolute shellacking in the DDT 4 final, where they beat the shit out of them. And that was like, since then, that's been kind of when the Young Bucks kind of took their... They toughened up indeed, and now it's going to be interesting to see if they're going to look to sort of pay Roddy back, give him his receipt for that, and also it'll be interesting to see them against a guy like Aries, who generally doesn't get pushed around too much in his matches. So I think there's a great dynamic here. It could be a very different kind of Young Bucks match.
Yo, it's two brothers.
Hello?
Danielson.
Alan, next. What up, buddy?
Okay, we're all back here. It's still recording. I don't know what happened there, but continue on, whoever was talking.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I was just saying that, you know, this match, since the last time that the Bucks and Roddy and Danielson faced, that you're exactly right. They've grown quite a bit, and, you know, I mean, their dynamic has completely changed. I mean, they used to be the plucky underdogs, and now, you know, I mean, they're the most dominant tag team ever in PWG history, and they really live up to that name. And so to have, you know, I mean, Roddy and Aries are just, I mean, they essentially, when they come into matches, they're not the biggest guys, but I mean, they're just like bruisers. And, you know, to have the Bucks, which, you know, just brimming with confidence and brimming with, you know, living up to that reputation, I think that's going to be really, really interesting to see how these two teams match up.
And then the main event of the weekend, Claudio Castagnoli versus Low Ki, a match many months in the making, really, since Low Ki returned to the PWG and started beating top guys. And Claudio has obviously been the man in his sights. So this should be an awesome match. And you don't usually see Low Ki in there with real big, imposing guys. And I think the last match I can kind of think of that ilk was him against Hernandez in IWA Texas, I believe it was, or something like that, or else it was like an IWA Mid-South show in Texas. But anyway, it was such a great match, and Low Ki playing a smaller guy is great, and I'm looking forward to this one immensely.
Well, you know, the thing that I like to remind people of is that Claudio Castagnoli has been defeated by Sabian. And so, by the transitive properties of professional wrestling, Sabian should be PWG World Champion. And,
that'd make Rob happy.
Shut the fuck up. We're friends now, I swear. Don't get me stabbed. No, Sabian should not be champion. He shouldn't be this time.
But no. I mean, in all seriousness, I think this, you know, this is a match that, you know, when we have unfortunate situations like when Low Ki had to vacate the title, he got hurt, had to vacate the title, and then, you know, right as he is poised to come back and make a run to reclaim the title, he got signed, and so, you know, I mean, that he just, you know, he was just completely taken off of our roster. But now that he's back, and now that we're able to use him again, we've been able to build back up to his title shot. And so, yeah, I mean, it's very much the situation where he's never officially been beaten for the title, and then so he wants to get it back. And Claudio, you know, I mean, Claudio has been such a phenomenal wrestler in the last few years, and I mean, since he returned to PWG, I don't think it's any surprise that he's on the top of the card every time that he's down there. And so, you know, I mean, this is a match that is, you know, I mean, something that I personally have been really, really highly anticipating, and so it's a match that I think is a great, great way to close out the weekend with this possible title match. If, you know, if Claudio makes it past Hero on night one,
it's a match so good it's not even fair. Like, it's going to be so awesome. I go into Low Ki matches like this, and I certainly don't wrestle Low Ki, but when I read about Low Ki matches happening, I think, oh, God, I feel bad for his opponent. Because Low Ki is going to kick your fucking ass. That's just the way that's what happens. So Claudio is one of the few guys where it's like, oh, shit, you know, he ain't going to get his ass kicked. And if he does, he's going to kick some ass while, you know, defensively while he's getting his ass kicked. So this is going to be a match where you got two guys who are tough as hell, and they're just going to be bringing it. And Claudio's liable to throw Low Ki, I don't know how many blocks away, but like, I think Low Ki's going to be it's going to be like a cat falling out of a tree if Claudio gets a hold of him and chucks him somewhere, because it's going to be really, really good. And again, dream goddamn match right here. Like, I didn't even think it was possible. I saw it was possible, like, technically, because neither one had an opponent, but when that officially got announced, I was just like, it's so good it's not even fair. It's so awesome. Like, what an awesome way, as you said, to close out the weekend, potentially in the world title match with Claudio and Low Ki. I mean, jeez.
Well,
kudos to PWG. That's all you can really say.
Well, Excalibur, since this is going to be a free show, so we'll have lots of people listening to this. So give it your best, sir. All the plugs, everything people need to know about the show and where they need to go. Let them know.
Yeah, it is at www.prowrestlinggorilla.com. You can still get tickets for about the next, next 36 hours or so. Tickets come down at the end of Monday night, local California time. After that, general admission tickets will be available at the door. You can get all the information on the shows at prowrestlinggorilla.com. You can buy DVDs of our past shows, and I guess shortly after these shows end up taking place, you'll be able to pre-order these shows and to guarantee yourself to be the first one on your block to have a Pro Wrestling Guerrilla DVD of All-Star Weekend 8, or possibly the only person on your block to have a PWG All-Star Weekend 8 DVD.
Yo, man, everyone on my block.
I have no illusions about the size of PWG, so there are multiple fans living on the same block. But, you know, stranger things have happened.
Rob, any final thoughts, first of all, but also, since you are a man of the world at the moment, if you have any plugs that you want to get out there for your stuff, feel free to.
I'm not going to plug anything, so if I plug one thing, someone I'm not going to plug is going to get.
Okay, well, I'm going to plug your podcast with Good Helmet, Goodwill Wrestling, on FlareChop.com. You guys have had some awesome shows with Excalibur. Did you listen to their show with Chris Hero talking old school All Japan?
No, I have not. Now I'm going to have to check this.
Yeah, you want to listen to that one. That's really good. FlareChop.com. Rob will make sure you get a direct link to that if I haven't got a link to that. And other great shows that they've done with Lars Fredriksson from Rancid, and people, you need to be listening.
Who I'm trying to get to go to a PWG show. I think he's a little bit NorCal, or maybe he's it's one of those things where he's a little bit far away.
Yeah,
but I
area.
Tell him all the time, I'm like, bro.
Him and Meltzer should do a road trip down.
That's what I say. Campbell, California to Reseda immediately needs to happen, because if you're in and around California, I don't give a shit how big that state is, you need to fucking be at PWG, because it's the fucking best shit going. So.
Yeah, so FlareChop.com for that, everybody. And
Pro Wrestling Guerrilla does.
Absolutely.
For that.
Absolutely. And a couple of plugs of my own, of course. This show, WrestlingObserver.com, F4WOnline.com. Check all the great shows on this site out. If you like MMA, mainstream wrestling, indie wrestling, international wrestling, it's all covered here. Also, Designs by Hayes, facebook.com/Hayes, is where I got my spiffy logo. And I think that's pretty much all the plugs for me. And one quick mention, we haven't mentioned on this show the very sad news that I've been kind of real bummed about all weekend, Macho Man dying. It sucks, but it's great to be able to celebrate such an awesome career as he had, because he has really left behind a legacy that few men ever in the world will be able to leave behind. It's just, he entertained so many people in so many ways, and I'm sure all three of us on the line were big fans, and I know there'll be some form of, I'd say the next show we do will be a Macho Man roundtable type show, and I will try and work out with Rob if he'll be able to come on that, and but we will, I'm sure, have all your sort of DKP regular favorites on for that show, and so check out that in the near future. And Excalibur, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you guys have a great weekend of shows next weekend. Hope it all goes well. And Rob, you too, thanks for joining us, and everyone check us out next show, and thanks for listening. Bye.